everybody. Welcome to the DeFalco Files. I'm Matt Michaels, along with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Joe DeFalco, and of course, the former TNA superstar, J.A.I.J. Vidal. And gentlemen, wow, man, we're going to talk about the Bay show coming up here, but just coming off of No Escape, and since Jay, we got you, man, you and Bateman, woof, damn, laying it in, man. And Joe even said last week that this could be one of those matches that he was really looking forward to, because it's a matchup we've never really seen before, and you guys worked your ass off, man.
Yeah, I think this was just like, to be completely honest, I think this was just like an appetizer, you know? This was just a little something. I definitely feel as though I had Bateman, as though I was about to just, you know, kick his ass all over the FSW arena. And of course, he took that sinister way out. Oh, well, I'm sorry, the Silverton, you know, I say the FSW arena as in, you know, just the whole arena.
Okay, gotcha. I don't want to
we have to shout out the Silverton. I'm sorry, we got to keep sponsors happy.
I don't know. I was thinking maybe 2 days ago that maybe they met at the arena and they continued the fight. And we're like, we had no cameras on this. What's going on?
But I do really feel as though I had Bateman beat. And of course, you know, something that I'm still learning, never had worked Bateman in my life, is that he's always got something up his sleeve. So, you know, I guess I just got to be ready for the mind games. And I think I just got to bring back some of that old Jay Vidal, you know, heat on him.
Joe, man, you know, before we talk about a little bit more about No Escape, you know, seeing him and Bateman and that dynamic, and I know you're running around and whatnot, but you can feel the crowd, and there's just certain things about both of them that I think the crowd can connect to. And it just makes it, like, to me, again, I love those types of matches that you're into it because these guys are giving you a pro wrestling match. And these were two pros, and that's what I love.
See, what you got to understand is when you go watch wrestling as a fan, you know, a lot of times you could sit there and be like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to win. Oh, yeah, that guy's going to win. We're in a different realm of being a wrestling fan. And they kind of know what's going on. We're not fooling people with stuff. But most people aren't going to go and look at the Jay Vidal versus Bateman and say, oh, yeah, Jay's winning this. Oh, yeah, Bateman's winning this. So now that maybe it makes them pay just a little bit more attention because they don't know where it's going. You know, when you go watch Monday Night Raw and Gunther is wrestling Otis, as good as they might make Otis look, there's no shot in the world that Otis is winning this match. And when you go to what we did at No Escape and you go up and down the card, you really couldn't predict a lot of what was going to happen. And also the part of No Escape was a lot of the things that were happening were the finalities and it was the end of something. And with Jay and Bateman, you could see that it was the beginning of something. Right. So you can't, you know, now we have something coming out of No Escape because the question becomes, hey, who's Dante King going to wrestle in the No Limits division? There's a lot of people, but who's going to get to step up? You know, who's going to wrestle Danny Limelight? Well, we're pretty sure Ice is going to be in that spot. That's about the only other one. You know, Makeshift, okay, they got rid of Sky High. Okay, well, there's a lot of great tag teams in FSW. Who's going to step up? It could be anybody. But we haven't finished this story. So hopefully we could take you on a good ride and, you know, the conclusion can be something that people can really enjoy because Bateman has always been that under the radar guy. And it took him many, many years to become all of a sudden he shows up on Ring of Honor, which now gives him a lot of comeuppance in the business. And I remember using him like 13 years ago. He was friends with Funny Bone. He was in a tag team And I jokingly used to call Bateman Funny Bone Light because it seemed like everything he did was a lighter version of Funny Bone. But in the years that passed, he has evolved so much that you talk about the professionalism. You know, even though Jay had a very, very, very short run in TNA, the fact of the matter is he was around so many major league stars. And you look at him from the day he walked in to the day now, you're looking at Bateman, you're looking at a major league wrestler. You're looking at Jay Vidal, you're looking at a major league wrestler. You know, there's great indie wrestlers. Indie wrestlers, you know, hey, this guy's really good for an indie wrestler. And it was kind of like when we would say the thing about Lacey Ryan, Zoe Stark. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, you know, she's a really good wrestler, you know, for a woman. And it's like Lacey was, she's a really good wrestler, and it was cut off because she was that good. And you can see who's special. And you look at our show from top to bottom, holy fuck, how many special guys that we got on that show. That it's just a who's who of professional wrestling. Many years ago when we first started, I remember Modest and a few people, well, Future Stars of Wrestling, that's a dumb name. And it's like, what do you mean? Well, you're telling people that they're not stars. And it's like, yeah, I understand that part. But by saying they're future stars, maybe people think, hey, well, they're looking at the next crop of what people are who are going to make it. Because in 2009, we had Sean Ricker, who becomes LA Knight. Nobody knew who he was. The Reno Scum, they went to TNA a few years later. Brian Cage. You know, the names of the people that we had, the Young Bucks were on the very first show. Nobody fucking knew who these guys were at the Rancho Swap Meet. Shit, even another AEW guy, Brandon Cutler, he wrestled with his brother against the Young Bucks. Right. And that's what's made our company what it is today. That's why you'll see me use, hey, I'll use Eli Knight out of Culture Inc. I'll use Rich Adonis. And all these guys beg to come to FSW. They'll get their way here. They'll work for whatever it is because they want that on their resume. Richard King gets himself down here, finds himself wrestling Jay Vidal and Kenny King in a triple threat match. Now, Richard King's awesome, but nobody out here knows who he is, but he's trying to make sure he gets to be known who he is. And because of everything we've done, now we got WWE's ID program and Jordan Oasis. Duke couldn't make it. He shows up. We're not begging him to wrestle. Here's the WWE ID guy. He doesn't need to, but he comes in. Hey, I want to work with FSW. So there's so much going on with us. And, you know, Jay's made a commitment that even though he's not in Vegas full time, he knows he's going to get the best matches here. He knows he's going to get, you know, be on shows like The Benefit for Bay, that it's tough for him to get a match if it ain't in the Scramble, six man, whatever it is, because we got superstars everywhere. And if you don't think that other management from AEW and WWE won't be watching this show or New Japan or AAA, you're out of your mind. So this is a great opportunity for everybody. So, you know, the minute Jay said, hey, you know what, I'm going to see if we can make this work and be out here. And, you know, I gave him some thoughts on how to make it work. And I see he's gotten himself booked elsewhere because of that, by staying out here a little bit longer. Instead of just a once in a blue moon, hey, let's make a special show and have Jay on it. Now it's like, okay, now we can count on him. And now that we can count on him, we can also put him back into programs and to storylines because he is a huge fan favorite. And, you know, Bateman to our fans is a bad motherfucker. So it's a perfect thing. Because, you know, Jay tried to force his hand on me and force me into a situation where I had to book him into a storyline. You know what I'm saying? So I had to, you know, make my mind work, you know, overtime, because all I had on my mind was to make Jay Vidal happy. And, you know, fortunately it worked out. And I think we got something good with Bateman.
Yeah, it seems like you're excited, Jay.
No, it's so... A lot there, right? A lot there to unpack. First of all, I do want to piggyback off what Joe said about kind of FSW being the place to work. You know, it's funny. I was working the tag team match for the New Year's show because unfortunately Matt Vandergriff ended up getting up sick. So he couldn't go there to tag team with Bodie against Evan Daniels and Bryce Saturn. And I'll never forget what one of the commentators said. He said, "You really got to find your place here in FSW because it's so like star-studded right now." You know, and that's how I always felt with FSW. That's, I think, what made me better was because in other independent promotions, you just kind of get like, you know, if you're okay, you're already probably handed a main event spot because not that many people are even right. decent, you know, in most promotion. That's just the, you know, the God honest truth around the US. But you go to FSW, it's like, okay isn't going to cut it, you know, being... Right. Even being good isn't gonna cut it. Being good might get you on a pre-show, but you really gotta be great. And in order to do that, you have to step up in ways that you could never imagine to step up. Because I remember when I was on shows, you know, trying to get on shows, you know, who was in the main event were the Crosses and the Chris Bays and, you know, the Corey, I mean, I'm sorry, the Hammerstones and the Graves. And, you know, you had like, you had those guys that were in the main event, and that then meant that the secondary title, you know, the No Limits title, who was fighting for that, you know, it was like Damian Drake, super on top of his game. Not to say he's not on top now, but at that point, you know, he was super on top of his game, wasn't letting go of that. You had, you know, Ice Williams coming up and fighting for that spot. You had all these hungry guys in one place at one time, and you still do. It's something, it's a wave that's always continued with FSW. I think it's just a wave that I've been able to ride, but it's a wave that's continued with FSW. And people ask me all the time, wrestlers will ask me, what do I got to do to get booked? I say, look, I could put in a good word for you because I think that you're talented, but you're going to go there and you're going to realize, like, you know, there's a pecking order there. And you might, in this promotion over here in Florida, you know, in Naples, Florida, you might be up here, but the moment you get over there, you're going to realize you're kind of down here.
Jay, in some ways, is that a good thing when it comes to motivating you to work harder? Because a lot of the guys that you're talking about just kind of go like, oh, okay, well, that's not for me. I'm just going to stay where I am. But guys like you, you worked your ass off to climb that ladder, and that's why we respect you.
Look at his arms.
Not right now. Not right now. I got them covered up, but you can still kind of see them. Yes, 1,000%. I know when I moved to Vegas, I bet on myself. I moved to Vegas with $3,000 in my pocket. And literally on a flight, most of that money was already blown on first month's rent and, you know, trying to get some other...
And paying Sin Bodhi.
and that part too, having to pay my way through training. So then, you know, I go there and I think things are going to be kind of handed to me because I was doing so well in South Florida, but they weren't. You know, I had to start off on pre-shows and they were... Joe will tell you, you know, they don't do them anymore. These kids are lucky, but it used to be a 6-man tag team match, 5-minute pre-show. How do you get to show out in 5 minutes being in a 6-man tag? But when I kept being put in those and barely being featured, that's when I said, okay, you know, I really gotta step it up because I know I wanna be mentioned that same level with, you know, the Ice Williams at the time, with, you know, the Damian Drakes, with the Chris Bays. I want to be on Joe's mind. And I think me training with Lacey, me training with Vandergriff and Damian Drake, you know, we were just all four of us just always getting in there. I think that definitely helped me out. And I think, of course, like you said, you know, being in that, you know, shark infested waters where you either have to become a shark or just, you know, get eaten as a fish, that's really what makes you a star. And that's why I think that the FSW model is the best model, in my opinion. Some people hate it. Oh, I don't get booked. Oh, this. Oh, that. Well, step your game up. And if you step your game up, you'll get booked, period.
And that's 1,000%. You know, you got to earn your opportunities. You know, taking a guy now that you saw in the scramble match, Bryce Saturn, for example. Here was a guy, he was getting a lot of love in Arizona. They were using him, and I talk about him all the time. You look at him physically, and he is in unbelievable shape. And what has happened to Bryce Saturn in FSW? He's been featured because he has put himself in what I like to call the top 20. When you're in the top 20, you know, it's what do we have? You know, it might be a scramble. He's a guy who's lucky enough because he's got a good tag team partner. Whether it's Evan Daniels or Damian Desire, he could go anywhere. He's had good matches with Ice. It was a Future Shock, and it was him and Ice Williams, and it was fantastic. Yeah. And it was like, you know, I've said it a million times. I didn't really have a use for a guy like that because he's working every other show in town. There's no value. And he is another one. He bet on himself. He wanted to work for the best company in Vegas. So he said, you know what? I'm not going to work anywhere else. I'm going to work here. I got my bookings everywhere else, which is certain things that even our local guys can't do because, you know, it fulfills their value of being, they're not good enough to be on our casino show. That's the bottom line. How do you get there? Well, you go on Future Shock, and I know you got to get bookings, but you got to go elsewhere to do it. And the people who've made the commitments, now all of a sudden, Bryce Saturn gets on my radar because this guy's good. Now he's committing to me. Same thing with Damian Desire. And then now over the last 8 months, these guys have basically transcended what they were 8 months ago when they were pretty good. And now Bryce Saturn's a guy that I believe can challenge for any title. And he's going to give you a great match. And he looks good. And then recently I just saw him start cutting promos. And they were awesome. So yeah. It's like, here's another guy that made himself make me have to book him. I didn't book him because, oh, he's such a nice guy. He bought me something for Christmas. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? It's like, you got to go out there and you got to earn it. You know, same thing with the younger kids. You know, there was a point where, hey, makeshift chemistry, the Killer D's, mariachis, they were all kind of, they were equal. They were getting their Future Shock shots. And then makeshift chemistry, they had the better match than another team. And they had a better match than the other team. And then they kept rising the ranks. And as the other guys started getting on shows, you saw them at training a little bit less every week. These guys were coming in with the mats and everybody else. And all of a sudden I'd get there and they've already been there for an hour. You know, I can see makeshift chemistry every Monday and Tuesday because they're training with Brittany when Chris is there. So they're putting in the time. AJ could be the biggest pain in the ass, but I can't tell you that he doesn't put the work in. We were there Monday to set up the ring after it broke, and AJ and Fox were there. A lot of these guys who get on the main show feel, oh, okay, I'm a superstar now. I don't have to help. But these guys do. So even though he might piss me off about something, the good far outweighs the bad. So when the bad far outweighs the good, if you have a brain, you can see where that is. You know, that's what happened with Raw Reese for a long time, that he was in the doghouse because he was a fucking idiot. You know, hey, we need you to come and help. And then he comes with the dog and he sits in the back with the guys at a show. Like, dude, what are you, fucking Teddy Hart? You got the dog. He's got the cat. We're going to have a tag team if Teddy ever gets himself out of the mess he's in. And it's like a lot of these guys just think they have this delusion, a lot of younger guys, that they're better than they are. And it's like a lot of these guys, mariachis, for example. Yeah, you guys are really good for a team who's been around for a year. If somebody said you were 10-year veterans, that's how wrestling is, they'd be like, eh, you guys kind of suck. Because if you go through their matches, there's a lot of hiccups. But for guys who've been there a year and a half, it's like, wow, these guys are really good. the same thing was like that with the Suavecitos and stuff, you know, that they thought they were the greatest team ever. It's like, calm the fuck down, guys. You guys are really good for where you're at. Yeah. But where you're at on my show, you're going against the Hammerstones, the Jay Vidals, the Chris Bays, the Shoguns, the Heroes, guys that have put in 5 years. There's that. It's called the terrible twos in wrestling for a reason. A lot of these guys get to this point, they get to be on some good shows, and all of a sudden they feel they've made it. And then that's what separates the Crosses, the Hammerstones, the Lacys, the Jay Vidals, the Vandegrifts, who no matter what they get in FSW, it's not enough. They want sky's the limit.
Right.
I do not take any offense to somebody who feels that the FSW Heavyweight Championship isn't the biggest deal in their life. It should be for that moment. But their goal should be to be a WWE superstar, an AEW superstar. We're called future stars of wrestling for a reason. And with the connections we have, we think we give good opportunities. But as I say, I'm a workaholic when it comes to this. And it really bothers me when I see somebody with talent who really doesn't put in the effort, doesn't really want to work that hard. But the ones that work that hard, because you'll hear a lot of people, oh, Joe's an asshole, Joe's a dick, blah, 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 blah. Go ask the guys. When Jay Vidal, and I realized Jay Vidal had something special, he got taken care of a little better. Hey, we're going to reduce your dues, Jay, because I feel that you're being charged way too much, and that's why you got to move away. And I'm like, I ain't taking my cut if somebody else has to take their cut, because I want Jay Vidal on my show, because I think this guy has what it takes to make it in this business. And you see who they are. They're the hungry motherfuckers. They're the ones that are there. If I pop in at 3 o'clock for a 6 o'clock class and they're already there training.
Right.
And some of these guys think that that 2 hour time span, that's great. Oh, you were there 4 days a week. That's great. You put in 8 hours. But these guys who are ahead of you and they're in TNA and they're in AAA, they're putting in 20 hours a week because they're figuring out a way how to get to the school, also go to the gym and take their 150 pounds that Chris Bay was, the 150 pounds that Jaden Ridden was, you know, because of, you know, all the ecstasy he was on because he was, you know, hanging out at the clubs, you know. So now all of a sudden the physicality part becomes as equally as important. The character part becomes equally as important because we have guys like a JKM, for example, physically, athletically awesome. He's really doing some really cool things, but he's got to build a character. He's got to build a persona. He's got to make himself. Matt was the chubby kid who could do cool things, who was 6 feet tall. Now Matt's got look. Now Matt's got a style about him. Matt can wrestle his ass off. Can't really cut a promo yet still, but he's got himself to 3 out of the 4 top tier things that you need. He looks good now. He wrestles great. You know, you can be weak in one point. New Japan is perfect for him because that's not a company that Matt Vandegrift needs to do a lot of talking, but he has improved. You know, I saw the thing he's doing with the former Darren Young, and you know, when MK called him out about the promo with Duke, he didn't sound, oh my God, it's Matt, what a bad promo. No, it was fine. It was, you know, so he may not be great, but he's working on it to improve. And that's what a wrestler who wants to make it has to do. Because we're nice. You go to WWE for a tryout or you go to the other places, motherfucker, man, you need to do this. They ain't going to be like, hey, what a good fucking lockup you had. Oh, wow, you ran the ropes great. It's going to be like, this sucked, this sucked, this sucked, this sucked, and this was okay. You need to work on your body. You need to work on your timing. You need to work on everything. While we try to at least throw in some nice stuff. But that's not how nice the wrestling business is, because there's 100 of you guys vying for one spot. But I'll give the really good guy at FSW as good a shot as anybody over that really good guy at any other wrestling place in the United States.
Yeah. Jay, that really kind of transitions nicely into, you know, you had an opportunity to be around Giselle in TNA, which I'm sure, you know, she was a great influence on you. And you were able to mentor AJ here. And we just saw an unbelievably brutal cage match in which AJ was locked in there by himself for a good, probably about 10 minutes of that match.
At least an hour for a 12-minute match.
But it shows, you know, again, that guidance when you're getting it from someone, you know, up at TNA, and then you're able to pass it down to someone who's, you know, young and hungry and kind of take them under your wings. I mean, what is it for you in terms of being able to see the growth of someone like AJ and know that, you know, your influence is part of that reason that he's been able to excel so fast?
Well, I'll backtrack just a little bit. Definitely on TV, Giselle and I were, you know what I mean? She was like, she taught me a few things, especially when it comes to promo, you know, when to get out of the ring after a match. Hey, stay over here. Stay out of the camera after your match. I do credit her with some things. I actually, as far as TNA goes, I actually credit two people for helping me out a lot, which were the two people I was actually on the road with, which were Kenny King and Chris Bay. I genuinely mean that. Those guys, like, nothing could compare to, because we'd be traveling together all the time. When TNA would buy a plane ticket for Jay Vidal, they'd buy, you know, that same airline for Chris Bay and for Kenny King. And nothing could ever compare to picking those guys' brains. Like, when we had a show in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, you know, TNA would take us to Detroit, and then from Detroit, we had to get a rental car to go up to Canada. Nothing compares to picking those guys' brain, asking them for advice, and just, for lack of a better term, you know, I always felt like Kenny King was like a uncle to me in wrestling, and like Chris Bay's been like an older brother to me in wrestling. Yeah. You know, he's somebody who, whenever something went right or wrong, you know, he'd tell me why it went right or wrong, or what I could have done better on TV, or how to work this camera, how to do that. But going back to your question about how to pass that on, so AJ, I don't like to really take people under my wing, because I train them the same way I was trained by Gangrel, which is very, you know, hard ass, very, you know, like, take no bullshit. Like, I don't like excuses, you know, and I'll call people out on their excuses. And sometimes, you know, Joe will tell you that, you know, the younger students have gone to him, and, you know, maybe Jay Vidal hasn't been the cup of tea of, like, you know, the trainer that they want, because I don't really baby them, because in this business, you're not going to be babied. You know, you're going to go to...
I'll chime in on that, because I did have some issues with AJ early on, and I felt going to Jay and telling him some of the stupid shit, he could curtail it, you know, whether it was when AJ started as a referee and then felt he became too good for that because he had one match, you know, and it's like, you know, everybody's eager to do things. And again, that's part of the reason of Chris being around and Jay being around and Sharp being around. And if it's a show, a Hammerstone being around, that when those people talk, hey, Joe never wrestled. What does he fucking know? But when Joe tells you the same thing everybody else who knows, supposedly knows what they're doing, tells you, you're going to take a step back. There's more respect for Jay Vidal because, hey, he made it in TNA. And right. Kenny King gets going to get way more respect sometimes, to where with the students, maybe they don't feel that way before Jay might help train a class. Well, what does he know? He's never done nothing. What has Cody done? Remy, they didn't do nothing, but they have knowledge, but they're going to respect the Kenny Kings more. And then when Chris gets in TNA, the minute he shows up, there's the respect. They saw this kid do stuff. They saw Jay Vidal struggle and find his way and all of a sudden get better and better and better, and then become a person that, oh shit, we know this guy. He's really nice to us and he's giving us advice. And, you know, Jay was really important when it came to maturing, I guess you could say is the word for AJ. Right. Because it's like, listen, motherfucker, shut the fuck up. You know, he still gets a little mouthy here and there, but, you know, but it comes from a different place. He's in a different situation now. You know, they got themselves out of what we like to call the B tag teams, because there's the A tag teams, the only people that are ever going to get the championships. And as I said many times, if you told me a year ago Makeshift Chemistry was going to be my tag champs, I'd be like, you're out of your fucking mind. That ain't fucking happening. Look who we got. But they went out there and they wrestled some of the best of the best. And Jay gets credit for keeping him in line, because then I'd hear at Remy's class, oh, yeah, AJ really helped out a lot and blah, 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 blah. And he worked with, you know, helped me do some stuff. So it becomes all positive because these guys want what Jay got a taste of, that Jay's not done wanting a bigger taste of. So the guys who want it are going to ask for the advice. We already know who thinks they're going to do everything on their own and aren't going to make it because they don't really want to put in the work. So, you know, Jay was here for a couple weeks. I walk in a couple days and there's Jay at training. He ain't using it as a vacation because he's in Vegas. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're 1,000% right. I mean, I think it really does come down to that. Luckily, I was taught early on in wrestling, Gangrel would always let us know, like, hey, you know, he'd bring somebody in. I remember a lot of the students would, like, ignore that person. And he's like, hey, why the fuck hasn't anybody asked this guy for advice? And we all just kind of stopped. He's like, yeah, I don't think just because somebody hasn't, you know, been on TV or done something like that, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. This guy's wrestled all over Mexico. This guy's wrestled all over Japan. And that was always a lesson that he would try to teach us. So going into FSW, you know, I would listen to guys like Remy. I would listen to guys like Cody. You know, I would pick things, of course, to Sin Bodhi, because, you know, Sin was the one who Gangrel recommended from the top. And I would, of course, you know, just like if something didn't feel right with me, I would just kind of filter it out. And that's okay, because that's professional wrestling. You know, not everything is going to fit right with you. But there is, you know, a right and a wrong way to do things in wrestling. And AJ has always been open to that. You know, AJ has always been like, the moment that I tell him something, you know, hey, you know, maybe you should, instead of prioritizing these Vegas bookings, try to prioritize out-of-state bookings, because they're going to get you looked at more. Just because you're working, you know, 3 times or 4 times or 5 times a month in Las Vegas doesn't mean you're going to get looked at, because you're wrestling in that same area. If you want to travel in wrestling, you have to travel in wrestling. You know,
you're already working for the company that other companies are looking at. So working there isn't going to help your stock, but they don't want to understand that. But that's why I need a guy like Jay and a guy like Chris and those guys to make them at least aware of it, because it's easy for me to say it, because then it looks like, well, yeah, well, you know, Joe's in Vegas. He just doesn't want us working there. And it's like, I'm trying to give you guys the benefits. It's like the Juggalos are running a show, actually today, by the way.
Nice.
So I got hit up and they said, hey, we're looking for some tag teams. You know, we want them to have some matching gear and we want them to have, you know, the certain look to them. And I gave them Sky High and the Mariachis because they have that pure look of, they're both brothers. So, you know, I said, we got numerous tag teams. Here's some pictures. And they picked the Mariachis. And now it turns out the Mariachis might be wrestling the Rock and Roll Express. I'm not sure, because Ricky Morton ends up going online and Sin posts. It's like, dude, I've already talked to them. They hit me up already. It's like, so they're going to be on that show. And they were looking for some women and they were looking for some younger guys. So I don't even know who they ended up using. I heard Mondo got on anyway, and I heard a few others got on. But they come to me, you know, just, you know, just like a million people reach out to me, hey, we want to work your show. Oh, we want to work FSW. And it's like, well, unfortunately, unless you come from Arizona and Hammerstone or Dom or somebody there recommended you class, I'm not really going to look at you. No offense. I got a million other people to look at. When one of my top guys says, hey, Kenny King never says, hey, there's this guy in town. Kenny King hit me up. So I had him work Tito Escondido, T-Dub, I think he was named. He works in OVW, but now he lives in California because he's working for Women of Wrestling. And he's the same thing. He's like, right. Hey, I make good money, blah, blah, blah. I'm not really worried about paydays. I'm just trying to get exposure, trying to get out there. And it's like, well, here's another guy I got to add to the mix because I didn't need to see his work because Kenny put his vouch on him. It saves me time. I don't have a million hours to go through and be like, okay, let me go look through this guy's reel or let me go find something on his link. It's like, bro, this isn't how it happens. If somebody's recommending you that I respect, you don't need to send me anything. If there's a spot and I can make it happen, that's how people get booked. It's very, or you guys come down all the time like that Arizona crew did. That's how Watson got started. But right. They were recommended from good people. And, you know, you have to put the work in. You know, it's funny how you read on Facebook all the time. Oh, never work for free. Never, never. You don't need to help with the ring. Yeah, good luck. Good luck working that shitty company that's going to do absolutely nothing for you because you think you're too good. I've had indie people want money that it's like, what? You want this? You know, no offense, but you're not worth a third of that.
Right.
And then there, because I know I have guys like Jay Vidal and I have guys, and because he's on, but you look at my entire roster of Danny Limelight, Atito, all these guys work because they want to work in FSW. Sure, we got to make it work. You know, the minute Jay got signed, you know, he immediately came to me for the raise bump because he knew, you know, he was in a good leverage position. But it wasn't like, hey, I need three times the amount of money I'm getting. Hey, can you do a little better? Hey, you know what, Jay, you've done a lot for us. Absolutely. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, because three times for Jay would have been like $60. So,
well, yeah, he's got to work his way up. Now it's like, hey, bro, come on. I gotta pay you less. You're not in the TNA anymore. I can't pay you that TNA rate. It's like, then he's like,
thank God for the sponsorships.
Thank God for the sponsorships and the Effie Gay brunches. You know what I'm saying?
But you know, that's a great thing that you just said, Joe, because I think, Jay, you've been able to turn that, you know, you've done what you needed to do and that you've turned the JAI into a brand. Right. And I think that's the next step that the guys kind of are lost on sometimes is how to take when you have that, that enough seasoning, that enough, you know, you have enough skills on the mic, you have some recognition from being on a nationally broadcasted brand. Now, how do I take JAI and brand that so that I can get, you know, Effie's brunch and I can get on GCW shows and I can get booked over here and fly across and book over here? Because that's the most important thing, building your brand, building your social media following, so that you can go into, let's say, Des Moines and people will go, oh, wow, Jay, oh, man, cool. All right. You know, this is a guy I don't get to see live who's coming here. This is cool. I mean, how has that been for you learning how to get that aspect done?
So even though, you know, my time in TNA wasn't what I would have wanted, I am grateful that something I did always learn. And I'll actually never forget who it was, you know, that told me it. They, you know, Suge was backstage, and I remember before I went out to my match, at TNA Impact Wrestling at the time to go up against Eric Young, they look at me and they're like, maximize your minutes. Just maximize your minutes. Fuck it. You know, they're not giving you a lot. Just whatever they give you, go take it. I was like, yeah, whatever they give me, I'm going to go take it. And that's what I decided to do every time I was on screen. You know, every time I was on screen, you're going to notice that Giselle Shaw's there and she's a star and she's bringing her star power. Well, you're also going to notice that, you know, Jay Vidal's there too, right next to her. Like, I made sure to kind of stay in the dark when I needed to stay in the dark, but when it was my time to shine, I always shined. And I was always really surprised because wrestling companies after that started reaching out to me, for example, from Arkansas, which I still go to wrestle for Arkansas. And when I go into this, you know, really rural area in Arkansas, and there's people coming to, you know, my meet and greet and telling me, oh, we loved what you did. You know, we loved the match that you had with Trinity. We love that you, you know, did this, this, and this in TNA. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, there's maybe what I did wasn't what I wanted to do, but what I did was just enough to kind of get the ball rolling. And I actually remember that there was a time after I left TNA when I got like really, really depressed just because I was like, man, I don't feel like, you know, the Florida scene isn't, anybody will tell you, it's funny because I just saw X-Pac, Sean Waltman at GCW, and it's been years since I saw him. He's like, hey, man, how you doing? Da, da, da. And then I'm like, oh, you know, I'm in Florida. He's like, oh, man, how is it over there? And I'm like, you know, the wrestling isn't great. He's like, yeah, man, it fucking sucked when I was over there. Da, da, da. He's like, it still probably sucks. Huh? And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, that's why I'm coming back here to the West Coast. So he just kind of gave me a little pep talk on, you know, keeping that going. But it was Joe DeFalco who actually, I had a call with Joe, which this was the call where Joe told me, you know, what are you doing? You know, don't waste your talent. And I'm like, Joe, you know, I'm in love. I'm over here in Florida. I'm in love. What am I, you know, I'm signed to a lease right now. What am I going to do? And Joe said, why don't you come out here, you know, one weekend or two weekends out of every month and you see if you don't just get booked for us, but if you could get booked elsewhere. And it's almost like that really clicked in my head. And I was like, wait, you know, the Jay Vidal brand isn't dead. The Jay Vidal brand could just grow from here. And after Joe told me that, I started using that to my advantage, whether that was coming back you know, for a whole week during the New Year's show and then getting booked at Wrestle Drag, or whether that was this time around, you know, getting booked for two FSW shows and GCW, because I realized that GCW was in LA. Luckily, I'm in a spot right now with Brett Lauderdale where I just, you know, message him, hey, you know, could I get on the show? And he actually messages me back. Wow, right away.
He messages like, you back.
He messages me back right away, Joe. He messages me back right away. He
messages me back.
I get the message back right away now. But no, it was because it even happened after working the Tampa show against Effie, because there was a GCW here in Tampa in December. And then, you know, he just told me, hey, you know, if we're ever in the same city, just let me know. We'll get you on. And and so after having that conversation with Joe and, you know, having that conversation with my boyfriend, he's extremely supportive. He's the one who helped me come up with the designs for my shirt, you know, how to sell them. He wants to be at my merch stands. And he's the one who told me, he's like, no, do it. He's like, you have to do this for yourself. He's like, you left TNA. Now you got to kind of hit the ground running. And but I really do, you know, not to, you know, whatever, Joe, but I really do thank you for giving me that pep talk, that phone call one time, because that's the reason why I feel my confidence going up now again in wrestling and being able to do this.
Yeah, you know, and all I try to do is speak the truth, and unfortunately, some people don't want to listen to the truth. And, right. You know, it was the same situation when Matt Vandergriff decided to move to Florida. And I gave him the same talk. It was like, dude, you know, there's only so many of you guys that are out here in the Vegas area, in the Cali area. So when those good matches were happening, a guy like Jay and a guy like Matt would get some of those matches, especially in the other companies, because their talent wasn't good enough to wrestle that guy. And by going to Florida, now there's a million guys, and I've known through talking to millions of, you know, hundreds of people, that if you're not in that Florida clique,
right,
you know, you're just going there for a random spot that usually means nothing, you know? And yeah, you might get on the show. Number one, you're not gonna, you're lucky if you're gonna get paid more than I would pay you. And secondly, the match is probably gonna be a garbage match. And you're probably going to have to put over somebody who's not even your equal. And it's not going to help you in any way. It's not going to pack your resume. It's not going to be like, oh, what a good match this was. I could send it to the Fed. But here, it's like Matt stayed in Vegas. It's like you got TJP. You got Jay Vidal for a few matches. Good, you're getting good matches against really good people. You got Kenny King at a Mecca. You know, those were things you won't get in Florida. And I understand why he went. He thought he might have a little better opportunity. You know, Lacey was going out there. So he had somebody. And I'm like, Jay has it good. He trained with Gangrel, so he has connections in Florida. But it ain't going to be that great for him either because he went back there and it wasn't. You're going to go there. Your connection's Lacey. She's not going to be able to connect you. Nobody's going to give Matt Vandergriff a match against somebody really good in Florida over their guy that they've been using for 2 years. You're a newbie. You're lucky to get on the show. You're lucky to be paid. And it's like, you know, things that I tell people, I don't, it is an osmosis, you know, it's like, it's weird. I sit there and I absorb. And it's funny how, you know, people probably think I'm not paying attention, but I pay attention to everything. And I see things that I probably have no reason to even know, but I try to find that information out. You know, when it comes to, I hit up JCW beforehand, Mosh Pit Mike, who wrestles for him. Hey, bro, they're going to need a ring. They need any people? If I see it out there, and the first thing I do is try to get my guys on that show because that's not just a random local show. You know, if you can get on those JCW shows, they pay really well. They travel like they're doing a whole loop, Albuquerque, Phoenix, and then Vegas. So now if the mariachis are liked, hey, you guys want to come down to Albuquerque tomorrow? Hey, they got that mariachi gimmick, New Mexico, you know. Hey, it can work. So it's like, that's how you get into bigger and bigger places. Mariachis, they were called up AEW. You know, a lot of our guys have gotten these opportunities. Sky High got the opportunity. Did they get an intro? No. Did they get any offense? No. But if they made Brian Cage and Lance Hoyt look good, which neither of those guys really need you to do much to make them look good. But if you go out there and do your job that you're asked of at that moment, that's how they call you back. Doing your job isn't showing everybody what you can do in a match. It's doing what I need you to do or what anybody else needs you to do. I remember there was this guy, Derwin, who decided he wanted to do all this cool shit to show me that he could flip off the top rope. It's like, it's a squash match. I needed you to get your ass beat in a minute and a half. I don't know what the fuck you were doing. Like, that didn't impress me. I can go to training and watch you do cool flips off the top fucking rope onto a crash pad all fucking day.
Well, and Joe, in all fairness too, what I really liked was Sky High came off of that match where they got brutality enforced on them, but they were coming into a cage match in which they were going to have to do what was done to them to, you know, Fox and AJ. So you're also taking from those moments when you get those opportunities, because eventually you're going to have to incorporate that type of style into what you're doing to tell a story. So it's give and take.
Well, there's a rumor at the Benefit for Bay we might have Lance Hoyt and Brian Cage versus Sky High. I don't know.
Also, I did forget to mention, just talking about the Bay Benefit show as well. I did forget to, like, you know, mention. Oh, there we go. Yeah, there we go. I'm on the poster. You see that?
Yes.
I made the poster.
You almost got bumped. I'm like, hey, Jay Vidal wrestled in TNA. Because, you know, Mikey has his favorites. And somehow you weren't on that on the final draft. I had to make sure. Hey.
Good. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Thank you. You know, something so special, I think, about the Bay Benefit show is just the fact that it's all these companies that, you know, at some point or even now, you know, are kind of against each other, but they're all coming together for this really special thing for Chris Bay, for a person who has in one way, shape or another, you know, touched these wrestlers. I could speak for myself. From the moment I walked into FSW, Chris Bay was the guy that I saw him get signed, and that's when I knew that I could get signed. Because before that, it was like, you know, I really didn't know that much people around me coming from Florida that really, you know, got signed or really had opportunities like that. Once Bay got signed, he was, you know, it was like, okay, I could get signed. I remember I would always talk to Bay and I'd always be like, man, it's so awesome that you got signed. And he'd never brag about getting signed. He'd stop me and he'd be like, you're next. He'd be like, don't forget that, you're next. Just keep working hard, you're next. And you talk about how I give AJ advice. One of the first people that gave me advice with FSW, because I always felt like, you know, again, going back to, you had to really, you know, create those opportunities for yourself and go hard so that you could be seen as a top tier player. I would, like, you know, get very frustrated, and Bay would tell me, like, stay the course. Like, FSW, you know, don't get so frustrated that you leave FSW and do something stupid, because right. FSW is going to be that place to lift you up to the next level. So just to be a part of the show, yes, I am honored to be a part of it because of all the, you know, top-tier talent on there and, you know, the company's looking and everything. But for me personally, I could say it's far beyond that. It's, you know, me getting to perform at the benefit show for my genuine, you know, big brother in wrestling, Chris Bay. I think it's such a really special thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that kind of encapsulates, I think, what is the best thing about Chris, right? It's that if you look across, no matter a company or, you know, an area of this country, or wherever, whatever it is, that's one guy who absolutely everyone who's ever come across, I think we all can say it, Chris is one of those guys that you just go, first you're in awe of how polite and very direct Chris is. He's one of the most approachable and one of the most lovable people that you just, you know, I think everyone just wants to see him succeed no matter what in his life, because everyone loves him and is inspired by him. And I think, you know, your words about how he kept you on course. There have been people that, you know, over the years have left FSW, and Joe, you've talked about that many a times. And it tends to be that when you lose that course, that's it. You don't find your way back to getting to the level you want to be at. And I think that that's the thing, is that this is a community come together to help someone get back to that level he wants to be at, you know, and everyone loves Chris. And Joe, so far, man, it's looking like this show is going to be not only well sold, but probably one of the best Meccas, if not the best Mecca that's ever been put together.
Yeah, like I said, the show's happening in March, and I'm already saying it's the biggest independent wrestling show of the year. Now, you may go to the Northeast and it is an independent show that's going to draw more people, but it's the biggest independent wrestling show of the year, because this is the true forbidden door of professional wrestling. It isn't two companies coming together. It isn't three companies. It's WWE's having people, AEW, TNA, New Japan, and AAA. So it's across the board. It's worldwide that an Alex Zane. And the fact of the matter is, because we do live in that world, which is great, that other than WWE, because they're always going to be their own entity, but people in New Japan can do more than just New Japan shows. And the same thing with AEW in a lot of situations. So, you know, it would probably be a pretty bad look if a Tony Khan or somebody came out and was like, well, Karrion Kross is wrestling somebody nothing to do with us, but we're going to pull our talent from that show. You know, how bad of a look would that be? It's like there's no reasoning for it. You know, I'm not going to, you know, as much as I would love to have Karrion Kross wrestle Shane Strickland, it's not even something I'm going to approach. I'm not asking anybody to do that because I understand the underneath stuff. Right. I know it's, oh, well, Kross is going over. You know, they're going to bury it's like we're burying AEW, you know? And it was like, you know, Watson, he wrestled Moose, and Moose is really close with Bay, and Moose, I'm under the assumption from what happened at DNA, he was really close with Kross. So I'm like, hey, why don't you hit up Moose? But the problem became Moose is the TNA X Division champion, and TNA is not going to give approval on an independent wrestling show, no matter what the cause is, for him to put over somebody in that situation if it was going to be Kross. So it's like, I understand business. I understand what we're doing. And I'm trying to make sure that the combination is good with everybody, because nobody's contacted me from AEW. I contacted Sanjay Dutt to get Shane Strickland's info. Well, Shane Strickland hit me up before Sanjay even reached out to him, but Sanjay was going to reach out to John Morrison and Brian Cage. And I'm like, bro, I talk to those guys. I talk to Brian all the time. I don't need that. I'm like, I haven't talked to Shane in a while. He's like, okay, I'll reach out. And then shockingly, Shane reached out on his own. Same thing with Leo Rush. Same thing with AJ Francis.
Yeah.
You know, some of these guys, like the people I knew that also I knew were tight with Chris, like obviously Ace Austin and Trey Miguel. I'm going to reach out to them. Hey, we're doing this. Would you be interested? You know, I was talking to Brian Cage about something. He's like, oh, what's going on with the Bay Show? And I'm like, oh, well, we're doing this, that, and the other thing. And I don't want to impose on somebody to ask them, hey, do me a favor. You're not doing me a favor. It's like you're putting somebody in a bad situation. Hey, love to have you do a charity show and wrestle for free. I'm not asking you. You're gonna ask me if you can be on it, other than the people I know. And Brian was like, hey, count me in. And is like, count Melissa in. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, well, we got Cage. And then Strickland hits me up. And then Trey hits me up. And then for some weird reason, Zachary Wentz hits up Kross about being on the show. And I'm like, I actually know him. Why would he hit up you? At that point, we didn't even announce Kross on the show. Like, how did he even know? Unless maybe he talked to Chris. I have no idea. And then I hit up Wentz, and he's on the show. And then Leo Rush on Twitter hits me back. Hey, I'd like to be a part of it. Okay, cool. You threw Frankie Kazarian. Now he's on the show. So it's all these people that want to be involved. John Morrison, who loves Bay. Hey, bro. Yeah, count me in.
Yep.
And now Alex Zane. I don't even know the guy. I was like, okay. Oh, I'll fly myself in. Put me on the show. And then all of a sudden, I look and it's like, wow, this guy was an ex-TNA X Division champion. And he's killing it in New Japan. It's like, well, that ain't no Battle Royal guy. That's the guy that I got to put in like a six-man tag. And then MK's like, well, hey, can you use Sam Adonis? I'm like, we can use anybody who wants to come out here and offer their services. I'm not going to turn somebody down. If you're a wrestler, Chris knows, he's already given me a few people that he knows they're going into the Battle Royal. but they want to come out and they want to stand tall for Chris. So yeah. We're going to be doing a 30-man battle royal. Half of our students and half of, you know, people from around, you know, the United States that want to fly themselves in just to be a part of something. So, yeah. You know, it's just amazing. And as I said, now the hard part is I see all these names and then Rich Swann. Hey, I want to do it. I'm like, oh, okay. Obviously love Rich Swann. You know, Willie Mack calls me. He's got something with the Juggalos. I'm like, hey, you know, Willie Mack ain't on Twitter and right. Facebook. Yeah. He doesn't probably even know about the show. And I bring it up to him. And I said something about Ricochet being interested. I said, you know, maybe we do Ricochet and Swann. And he was offended. It was like, what about me and Swann? You know, and it's like, well, if you want to do it, Willie, obviously you live in Vegas, you know. So, you know, I think there's going to be more names. I think we're going to save some surprises.
Sure.
For yeah. people to be like, holy shit, this motherfucker showed up. Like, what the fuck? You know, so we're, you know, I'm meeting up with Chris probably Monday or Tuesday just to discuss, like, hey, is there matches that he wants to see? Sure. It's like, yeah, I'm promoting it. I'm booking it. But it's like, hey, Ace Austin wants to work John Morris. Who am I to say no? You know, Kenny really wants, you know, I saw Kenny yesterday. Oh, I never ask you for nothing. But I'm like, dude, I haven't put shit together. I'm not fucking fabing you, dumbass. You know, it's like, I've known that guy since 1999. Like, really? I'm fabing you, Kenny? Like, I haven't even put one match together. And the show's 2.5 weeks away. And we're gonna
now you got to rip him, dude. Now you got to rip him.
Well, it's like I told him. He's like, oh, you're going to bust my balls now? Because I saw him yesterday. I'm like, no, Shane Strickland hit me up the other day. Oh, yeah, what about? He was like, hey, who do you got me working? And I was 100% honest. I said, at this point, I got really no idea. But I know Kenny would really love to wrestle you. And he goes, well, Kenny would be great. So when I told Kenny that.
If he wasn't 62.
I should have said, oh, yeah, he meant Kenny Omega. Sorry, not you. But, you know. But, yeah, I said, yeah, I said he would. I said it might be a triple threat depending on the names because, hey, who's Rhino working? Well, he's on the list to work Cross, possibly, you know. Right. You got Morrison, you got Ace, maybe a triple threat. Maybe we got the Rascals, so they might as well tag. But do we do the Rascals and say Rich Swann versus – you know, the unguided returns with Bodie. And, you know, they do their six-man like they did at the GCW show. They killed it. Because, right. You know, you got a 17-year-old kid who's killing it. I got to put Bodie on that show.
Right.
So now it's trying to figure it out. Or is Matt working, you know, a Brian Cage that we were supposed to do at the Toy Con that we didn't? You know right. what I mean? There's so much talent, it's crazy because it's like you could basically take a fucking dart and you throw it and play and basically play wrestling roulette and whoever right. works. You know, Limelight hits me up, you know, very specific. Hey, why don't we have the FSW championship defended? Because I already told them. It's like, yeah, you'll be in like a scramble or something. Well, what about Frankie Kazarian, Rich Swann, and Alex Zane? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Okay. But, you know, I could see it, you know, sure. Cause Aaron needs a match. Put him in a, is it going to go wrong? You know, what is Jay Vidal doing? You know, Jay Vidal's not a battle royal guy. Gregory Sharp's not a battle royal guy. Matt Vandegrift, yeah. not a battle royal guy. Because,
but they're a six man scramble guy.
You know, exactly. But the thing is, it's like, it's also me taking care of guys who've been here for a long time. Unfortunately, Dante King, he's my No Limits champion. But Dante King hasn't been here that long. So he's probably going to be in a battle royal because I need to make sure I'm taking care of my guys who've been with me for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, and have done good business with me for that entire time, who also have dealt with Chris for a lot longer. You know, I already got Brittany Brooks in the women's match. Brooke Havoc is probably going to be in the women's match. Jada Stone's coming. She knows Chris well. She's going to be in the women's match. So there's a good chance it's either going to be a Gypsy Mac and Maserati, who's dealt with Chris for many years and would love to be a part of it. If she's cleared, I can't not put Maz on that show.
Right.
So it's like nothing in this show. Yeah, it's very personal. So it isn't like, hey, you're not on the show. You're not good enough. It's not personal. No, this is, hey, we have this many people and we're doing 10 matches. And one's a 30-person battle royal. So there's right. literally going to be 50 people at least, because the other 9 matches isn't going to be 18 people in one tag. It's going to be a 6-man, maybe 2 6-mans, a 5-man scramble. There's literally going to be 60 to 70 participants on this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just insane.
Well, Jay, any as we kind of get ready to wrap up here, any final thoughts? You know, looking forward to this and going into the show on the 23rd.
Yeah, I mean, I think Joe just kind of hit the head on the nail with everything. You know, there's so many possibilities for so many matches, and just matches that you wouldn't really be able to see, honestly, be able to see otherwise. Because when are all these stars going to be under one building at one time? And that's something that, you know, hopefully the people that are going there are going to see, this is something special. This isn't, you know, you even talk about like the Northeast shows. You could go to a Northeast show and see, you know, maybe 3 of the guys that you just pointed out on one show, but the rest are indie guys. Like, this is all a fully star-studded event. And I, you know, going back to what I said earlier, I think that the reason why we're doing it is the most special thing above all. And I do also agree with you, Joe, saying that this is the biggest, you know, independent event of the year and the real Forbidden Door. And it's not a Forbidden Door that's coming, you know, because of malice, because of, you know, let me try to go against this company, let me try to do this. It's all coming for our love for this one special person in this business. It's all coming for Chris Bay. And like I said, I'm honored and excited to be able to be a part of this show and to represent, you know, FSW. And more importantly, you know, just to put on a great show for Chris Bay, because I know he's going to be super appreciative of everybody and anybody who's there for him. You know, we'll make sure that he feels the love that day, because it really is about him.
You know, and I was thinking back and I'm like, well, the only thing I could think of similar to this would have been when they did the Brian Pillman tribute show. But when they right. did that, it was just WWF and WCW. This right. is everybody. This is, you know, and that was a big deal, obviously, because of WWF and WCW at the time. So, right. but in this event, it's never been done before where you'll have wrestlers from every single major company in the world under one roof. You know, so even talk with Brett and GCW and seeing, because they're going to be in LA, I believe, the day before.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, who knows, you know, who might show up. So, like I said, I'm working that on the sidetrack of like, man, I already told the Silverton, you know, we're going to be going a little long on this one because, right. you know. It is what it is. I'm not going to, you know, sure, the card might be set. But if Ricochet hits me up tomorrow and says, hey, I want to be on the show. Yes, sir. You know, we're right. going to figure something out. You know what I mean? So it's like anybody wants to reach out. You know, I'm going to put something out there. It's kind of like, hey, who wants to be a part of this? And, of course, you know, 98% of them be some Twitter guy who wrestled for a year and a half and has 37 followers, you know. Oh, yeah, I really want to be on the show. It's like, you know, because you have to deal with that all the time. You know?
Right.
You know, I saw one. Oh, why isn't Shane Strickland front and center on the flyer? Really? Shut the fuck up. Like, really? That's your beef?
You know, you got to have the AEW troll, you know, to to start shit over something like this. It's
and you know, besides the ticket sales, it's like I went to the bank the other day where I work. I go Nevada State Bank, and we're trying to get a donation account open for Chris, so that way when we air it on Shriller, when we get an you know, Fox 5 doing a story, maybe the newspaper, you know, people could donate directly. So it's like, hey, instead of hey, go to FSW Zelle and send money. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the year, it's like, yeah, but you brought in this amount of money this year. And then we say, right. Yeah, but the donation money went to this. And they say, I don't give a fuck. You got to pay taxes on it. So I'm trying to avoid that, right. You know, because I know how they like to double dip on that. You know, we had that issue with TNA. People PayPal me the money. I PayPal'd it to Jeff Jarrett. So now we both had to claim the same money.
Right. Yep.
And then there was no like recourse for like, hey, this money I brought in for them. All that matters was that we brought in X amount of dollars. Then I took that and then sent it to them. So technically we both claim that we made that money.
Right.
Through their system.
Right.
So, yeah. But yeah, you know, we got a Future Shock on this Saturday, 5 o'clock. You'll throw that out there quick. Jonathan's on a roll. He was at 18, but I think he's gotten up to about 40 tickets sold already. Wow. He'll be wrestling Ricky Tenacious, most likely in the main event. But yeah, it's a good chance to see the younger talent. Watson will probably be on the show. You know, he's my Gregory Sharplight. So when I need a guy to work with a younger kid to make him look good and help carry him. And then if he shits the bed, finish him. Watson's been that guy for me now. So, absolutely. You know, we got that. And again, tickets go for sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. officially, because we did all the stuff with the sponsors, donations, the meet and greets, whatever. But now if you want to get a ticket to the show, you're going to go to silvertoncasino.com. And you're going to buy the tickets there. No front rows. They've all been taken up by donations and sponsors. So, you know, we're hoping for a few more sponsors. My guy, Steve Yeager, know nothing about his politics, but he's the speaker of the Nevada State Assembly. You know, praise him. Donated $2,500 to the cause. And, nice. You know, that basically is covering a lot of the flights that we have to cover on there. So the more that gets put out in the sponsorship, the more money goes to Chris Bay. So, you know, we're hoping to rack up a big number. You know what I mean? It's like we want this to be, you know, extremely special. And, you know, Chris is a guy who from day one, from when to when he made it, he never changed one iota. You know, right. He was always there. You know, hey, I'll do a promo. We'll set something up. Never be like, hey, how much you paying me for the promo? Hey, how much you paying me for commentary? How much you paying me to go talk to the guys in the back and I'll agent your match for you? It was just like he just felt that was part of what I had done for him. He's going to do for me. And when we have a show, pay me accordingly what you think you can afford and don't go out of pocket. You know, so I have now the opportunity to do something. And it's amazing to me because it's like, wow, like I expected this to be a nice show. It's going to be cool. We'll get some people on it. And it's just fucking insane. I'm getting messages from people everywhere. I'm getting messages from companies that have no idea they exist. And it's like, you know what? You know, hopefully, as I said, maybe it makes it another venue because we need help. We're an independent wrestling company. We don't make a lot of money at all. And it's like, so we're trying to get better deals. You know, maybe somebody will treat us better when we do shows. You know, Silverton's good. I want great. I want somebody to be like, yeah, whatever you need, Joe. Not like, oh, well, yeah, you know, And unfortunately, hey, we had no video. Hey, here's 300 back. Nah, of course not. It's never that. Where's your check? You haven't paid me yet. It's like, where's my contract? You haven't given it to me yet. You know? So, you know, this is, you know, extremely special. So this is going to be, again, we always talked about, hey, things that you will remember for the rest of your life. There's only so many shows that I could be like, ah, yeah, you know, this was special. That FSW GCW, yeah, that was special. Hey, having Kevin Nash at a casino show in Mesquite, having Matt Hardy win my championship. Those were special moments. But this will live forever.
Yeah. Yeah, very well said. Jay,
for a douchebag like me, Jay Vidal, you know what I mean?
I was going to say, Jay, can you tell us about Joe's douchebag side for a while?
Well, what you see is what you get with Joe. So I don't think there's another side to him. I think it's just
100%. And that's, you know, it is what it is. You don't like it.
But the good thing is you're never going to get like you do with other promoters, right? Where they just like, oh, yeah, that was a good match. And they talk shit behind your back. Joe will tell you if that match sucked. He'll go to him. How was it, Joe? Oh, it fucking sucked. Why did this happen? Oh, you know, at least you get the real deal with Joe. You know, love it or hate it, you get the real deal with Joe.
Joe said it was great, but he hasn't booked me for like 9 months. I wonder why.
Right.
He said everything was fantastic.
Well, there you go, everyone. Jay, thank you for coming on with us, man. I know it's been a long turnaround for you. Thank you for getting us into your busy schedule.
Thank your boyfriend for giving us an hour of your time.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you for having me. You know, like I said, really excited for everything that's going to go on with FSW, with this feud with Bateman. I definitely think that this will be one of those ones that, you know, will definitely define my time in FSW, just like the Gregory Sharp one did years ago. I think this is going to be a very long-term told story. And I am super, super beyond excited. And again, honored to be a part of the Bay Benefit Show.
And again, the Bay Benefit Show is on Sunday the 23rd. Joe, what time do doors open for the outside of the meet and greets?
Well, doors are open regularly at 4. We might move the meet and greet a little earlier. We'll let people know. Right now it's scheduled for 3:30. So we might have to go to 3 just because we got to, you know, this is more meet and greets that we're going to be done in a long time. So we want to make sure there's people to get in because, you know, I'm going to believe there's going to be more than 500 people there. So. He disappeared.
Oh, man. He could have hung around for the.
Yeah, I guess he went offline. So.
Couldn't call the finish, huh?
Nope. What else is new? You know this California guy. Oh, there he is. Hey, Matt, can you hear us? All right, I guess we can go, Jay. Well, that'll wrap it up for us tonight, everybody.
Any final words, Joe? Any final words?
Join us on Saturday, and we look forward to seeing everybody March 23rd. Thank you and good night.
Thank you and good night.